You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
In this, the first of our four segments today devoted to the rich array of plays currently on Broadway, we're starting with a classic from Noel Coward, Present Laughter. The Wall Street Journal's Terry Teachout calls it the funniest and most perfectly wrought comedy and says that this is the best staging of a Coward play, any Coward play, that he has ever seen. Kevin Kline plays Gary Essendine, an enormously vain actor to perfection, but it would not work without the wonderful trio of actresses who join us now. I'm delighted to welcome Kate Burton, a.k.a. Liz Essendine, Christine Nielsen, a.k.a. Monica Reed, and Kobe Smulders, a.k.a. Joanna Lipiat, to our show. Well, so glad that you could be here.
Thank you.
Thank you for having
us. Thanks so much.
This play dates back to 1942, and Noel Coward played the title role himself. Can you still feel his presence?
Yeah, I think we can. I mean, you know, the language of the play is so beautiful, but also because of our wonderful set designer, David Zinn, we have photographs, small photographs of him all over the stage. So we can always check in with him in between
Was
laughs.
That the right line?
Yeah. Yes, exactly. What do you think,
Noel? Oh, I thought I improved it.
Did I do good, Noel? Did I do good?
Is he a difficult playwright to do justice to, especially 75 years later?
Oh, no. I think his words are so great. And, you know, he wrote it even when there was terrible times going on in England. And I feel not that I want to get into any kind of political
oh, please,
discussion.
God, don't.
I know, not today. But just
well, who's the prime minister? Somebody named Donald Trump?
Oh, I know. That's what I don't know. I don't know. Stop.
This is probably Churchill in 42.
Yeah. So, but it was, you know, that people needed to laugh, to be human, and to see people love each other. And I think that, you know, he's a great playwright for that.
And are the lines naturally funny, or is it a matter of how you say them?
I think they're pretty naturally funny.
Yeah.
I think, for our version, we had to actually slim it down a bit. I mean, there were so many great words. And not all of them could be said because the original version of this has three acts and two intermissions. And so we had to condense a lot of it.
Today, pretty much everything is a two-act play. If there is an intermission,
Right? So many shows on Broadway right now are 90 minutes long. I mean, some of our, you know, our nominees for Best Play of a Tony. The other thing about Coward is, particularly this play, and I think Private Lives is his other sort of. He's got many masterpieces, but these are probably the top two. They're brilliantly constructed in a comedic way, and I have a friend who's one of the main writers on Modern Family, and he came to see it, and he just sat there gobsmacked at how extremely brilliant Coward is setting up laughs.
And allows
to
people
out
to
out
bounce
of
off of the each other.
That's what I was going to say, is you have to get out of the way. Don't add things. Don't your actor, little creepy actor, like, oh, I have a moment here.
Yeah.
Get out of the way. Let the language do it. He'll take you home.
Although there are also some pretty good physical laughs. One character insists on nearly wrenching the arm out of the socket of anyone who forgets and allows him to shake their hand.
Exactly, yes. Bhavish Patel plays Roland Mall, the mad playwright. And, you know, that's like a classic comedy thing, you know, just setting constant, you know, it's a constant gag. And it works every single time.
And it's also so human. How many people have you known that do some inappropriate way of greeting you and you have to sort of gently pretend that didn't happen?
Right.
Yeah. So it's so brilliant.
Angela Merkel had to deal with that.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Don't bring it back to the politics.
Leonard, stop.
I was wondering about rehearsals. I'd imagine that it might be quite easy to break out of character and find yourself just laughing uproariously. Did that happen?
Oh, too much. Too much.
Yeah, too much.
As a matter of fact, it's still happening. I mean, Kevin
I mean, during the real play, do you sometimes have
Kevin
to control yourself?
Has a certain freedom on stage that is just a delight to be around. And Kate and I enjoy him every night trying on the robe. And it changes.
Yeah.
So, you know, he gets you. Now he's Richard III.
Yeah, no, well, now he's doing Richard III. Kevin, the way Kevin Kline works is pretty extraordinary, and he uses every single second of the rehearsal and every single second of the preview period, which was almost 4 weeks, to develop this character. And so we've been with him every step of the way, but it's been a delight to work with him. He's just a dream to work with.
He's perfected the part of a celebrity who can't move without exuding star quality. And as Terry Teachout also noted, who's never seen a mirror he didn't like?
That's true. He's such a ham.
I know. I love him down
in the best way.
I love him down in our little makeup room.
Oh. I mean, so backstage is even he's as Gary Essendine as ever.
So tell us about your characters, Kate. Liz is Gary's estranged wife, and yet she's present in his life.
Yes, very estranged, but very present. Yeah, basically, you know, they're not together. She left him because she just couldn't deal with all the madness, but she still loves him so much, and she's pretty much his manager. She takes care of him. She strokes his hair. He lies on her lap. She tells him she loves him, then tells him, you know, what a piece of you-know-what he is. Anyway, can't say that word. But it's a fascinating relationship, and it reminds me a lot of Elliot and Amanda in Private Lives. So it's been such a thrill to work. I had no idea it was such an interesting role.
And Christine, your Monica is indispensable. She's Gary's amanuensis, an alternative brain. She keeps everything running smoothly.
Well, you know, it's like herding cats around Kevin Kline. Over here! Over here!
But you also have to endure all the strutting.
Well, you know, I think the most amazing thing about that character is that, you know, he rescued her. He says that he took her away from that sinister old aunt. You know, wherever she is and whoever she was. And then gave her, like, joy and laughter and a world she would never have ever seen. He opened a door. So she loves him forever. You know, he's the love of her life.
Yeah.
And Kobe, you get to play a delicious character whom other women seem to detest, but
not
men,
really.
Well.
for a little while, anyway. Yes, I play Joanna, and she is at the beginning of the play anyway with Henry, who is Gary's producer, and she has had a thing for Gary for a very long time and chooses this moment to sort of say her truth and make her move.
And well, she seems to be making moves all the time.
She, you know, I like to think of her. I like to think of her. She's like a very modern woman stuck in a different time.
Totally.
And had she been a woman of today, you know, she would have had the freedom to be the type of person she wanted to be, mm-hmm. to work in the way that she wanted to work and to be live her life the way she wants, but not back
it's also
time.
A very physical role, which requires conveying an awful lot through just small gestures.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And Kevin helps with that. I mean,
Well, he's doing big gestures.
Yes, no, but even but
oh,
it,
yes,
I
he
think
is.
I do feel like in our scenes his focus comes in, mm-hmm. and there's even one moment in our scene where I think it's probably the biggest laugh in our scene where he just like rises an eyebrow and people just freak out. But yes, it is a bit of a cat and mouse game and a power struggle in that scene. So it's very subtle.
Were rehearsals important to you? Working out all those smaller details.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Eyebrows.
Absolutely.
And
yes. Oh, no. We used our rehearsals. It was like clinics in comedy and clinics in truth. Because the greatest comedy comes out of truthful situations. I mean, this is truly a situation comedy in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, also the thing is that, you know, the characters, what makes them so interesting is they're very multidimensional. And what's wonderful about, like, what Kobe's doing as Joanna, and we have a fantastic scene together, and in truth, these two women actually really like each other, but they've been put in this situation that is untenable. So it's how they navigate it, and so it makes it so much more interesting to play because it's just not black and white.
Yeah.
Do each of them see Gary a bit differently?
I think Joanna definitely does.
Yeah.
I don't know about the two of you, but...
Well, he certainly needs an audience. At the end, when he's at risk of being alone, panic sets
in. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what makes it very deep, because he really is afraid. He has a real wistfulness in the last act.
Very painful to go out that door to say goodnight to him, knowing he's going away. But that's the only thing Monica could do.
Mm-hmm.
She's not Liz. That's where we see him differently. I don't think I'd ever truly want that door open.
No. My guess.
Because I see the pain that can cause.
Yes, exactly.
My guests are Kobe Smulders, Kate Burton, and Christine Nielsen. who are starring in Noel Coward's Present Laughter, currently at the St. James Theater at 246 West 44th Street. And if you want ticket information, you can go to our show page at wnyc.org/lowpate. It's running through July 2nd. And you mentioned the fact that it's now been divided into two acts, and that kind of works in a way because mm-hmm. the first act is you're keeping things under control mm-hmm. and then chaos right. in the second act.
Well, we basically said that the first act is a farce and the second act is, the first act is a light comedy and the second act is a farce. And so, you know, we have to make sure that we keep the first act being a light comedy and not fall prey, because we're all such hams ourselves, that we don't fall prey.
Yeah, we don't push
to
it
like,
that
we're going
to,
you know.
You have to, that is you have the to dance. Control yourself.
We have to control.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, well, you just have to let the information come through. It's, you know, ultimately, as I get older in this business, I realize that it's all storytelling, you know, and the simpler you can tell the story, the better it is.
Why, a listener wonders, why is the play called Present Laughter?
It's from a quote from Twelfth Night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everything comes out of Shakespeare.
Yes.
I think I remember the quote.
It's something,
by mine honor half drunk, what is love, 'tis not hereafter. Present mirth, half Have present laughter.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Bravo, Kirby. Yeah,
you provide us with the accent and everything.
We all speak in an accent like this. Don't speak an American accent.
Yes, that's right.
Well, these days, actors seem to find a lot easier to do good accents than they did in the past. In the old days, American actors did really bad British accents. And now we have all
what?
These...
How dare you?
I
said
bad
in the past,
accents.
Not today. Uh-huh. And British actors these days...
I know.
They're all playing American roles mm-hmm. with accents that are better than mine.
This is the internet.
That's not
the
true.
Internet, language. I think you now get to know so many. Yeah. You can see so many. You can actually, you know, Google people and hear their actual life speaking it, and it's easier to pick up then. I think.
Yeah.
Well, they come on this show sometimes, and after me knowing them as some. Yeah. Guy from Washington.
Yeah.
I discovered they're from Wales.
Yes, exactly. Well, I understand that.
Yeah. Cubby, you were here last to talk about the movie Results, and mm-hmm. since then you've been busy with the Captain America series. Do you enjoy doing them?
I did just one. I did The Winter Soldier, and
you're not going to do the next one?
They're shooting right now the final, the Ultron one with the Avengers, and I can't.
You're
I would
in.
Tell you. I'll tell you after we are not recording.
Is it true that as a kid you'd wanted to be a marine biologist?
That is true.
So where did you go wrong?
I actually was the summer before I was going off to college. I started doing some plays in Vancouver, up in Canada, and met a lot of actors, and it was just a lot of fun, so I decided to give it a year, and that was
how many years ago? Is that when you changed your name?
I've never changed my name. No, I mean, my legal name is Jacoba, but I've never used it my entire life. Yeah.
You were Kobe from childhood?
Yeah, from the get-go, yeah.
And Kate, hasn't Present Laughter played an important part in your life?
Mm-hmm.
Your first notable role was in it opposite George C. Scott.
Yes, 35 years ago.
Must have played it very differently, although he's also great at playing hams.
He was, oh my gosh. Well, you know, nobody expected him to play such a character as the vainglorious Gary Essendine, but I played Daphne, the young girl, at the beginning of the play, and I had just graduated from drama school, where I went with Christine, the Yale School of Drama, the day before, so it was extraordinary. And he directed it and played Gary. We only rehearsed about 3 hours a day, tops. He knew exactly what he wanted. Nathan Lane played Roland Maul.
Great cast.
It was his debut as well. We were the kids.
In 1982.
And the most thrilling thing is I met my husband, who was the production stage manager, Michael Ritchie. So I'm still very happily married. So it's an incredible turn of events.
Yeah. And Christine,
let's hope nothing ominous happens with this.
No marriages from this play.
Christine, Christopher Durang is a thread throughout your career. How many of his plays have you been in?
Oh, I think we were trying to add them up one night, and we both came up with different numbers. I think I want to say 5. He says 6, but I'm like, what's that other play? I don't remember.
If you were to go back to a play, do you think you'd remember all your lines again?
If I, you know, the interesting question, I have actually done this and I do have to relearn them. You know, I don't know whether we just by nature want to delete a little bit because there's so much out there that, or maybe my brain just can't hold that much.
My mother was an actress and she said, right. She gave me advice when I started doing this show. She said, when actors come on, never ask them, how do you remember all those words?
Right.
I hope you've been grateful that I didn't ask that question.
It is the question a lot of the time. Yeah, it was just my father came to see the show and he was like, how did you do that?
Oh, your dad was so great. No, I remember Shakespeare is easier to remember because of the iambic pentameter. Mm-hmm. But I find myself remembering bits of parts that I played in my 20s. But after that, forget it. Then I have to relearn everything again.
Well, Kobe obviously remembers bits of Shakespeare.
She does, my just, God. Well, it's because you're young, darling. Much younger than us.
Yeah.
Well, and this has to end on July 2nd?
It has to end on July 2nd. Yes, yeah. That's it. Well, Christine, I'm sorry to be like your manager. Christine's about to play Puck in Midsummer Night's Dream in the park.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that'll be fun. Kobe, I probably screwed up. I really meant the Avengers films.
Yes.
You've been in all of them?
Not all. Not all, but some. Yes.
And you like doing those kinds of films?
I do very much. Yeah, they're really fun.
Well, we loved having you here. And Present Laughter
Thank you, Leonard.
A big hit. It probably could run forever.
It could. It could run forever. Who knows? Who knows what the future will hold?
And you do Noel proud.
Oh, thank you, Leonard.
That's so nice of
thanks
you to
a lot.
Say.
That's appreciate
important.
It.
My great thanks to Christine Nielsen, Kate Burton, and Kobe Smulders for joining us today. Again, the Present Laughter is at the St. James Theater at 246 West 44th Street. And if you want information about tickets and whatever else, go to our show page at wnyc.org/lowpate.